The Bible says, study to know yourself, approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed. Now, when you receive something, you go down and buy something at Kmart or Walmart or JCPenney's or Bonds. If you buy, go to a furniture store and you get instructions to put something together. Now, a man usually won't read those instructions at all. He'll just start getting things out and start putting them together. And a lot of times he will break it. You know what I'm talking about, Velasta? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Well, I'm breaking it.
Yeah. I mean, you'll end up breaking it, ruining it, and have to go buy another one sometime. And then he'll finally get out and read the instructions at home. But a woman will read the instructions usually, and then she'll put it together because she feels insecure that she needs the instructions. But a man is so proud that he won't look at the instructions because he figures he knows how to do it anyway. And then when you buy a gun or something like that, it says, read the instructions before you shoot this gun. And a guy goes out there and puts the bullet and shoots it in right away. Isn't that right? Absolutely. Read the instructions. Right over there, from there to the bottom of that deal there, that whole bookcase, 4 feet wide and 7 foot tall or so, is religions. Religious writing. Now, that's not all of them. I got a whole lot, another whole shelf down there just like that down in California still. Religions, because people didn't read the instructions. Religions of all kinds. Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Catholicism. You just go on and on. Seventh-day Adventists, you get into the Pentecostalism, you get into Baptists and Catholics, all of these different mixtures and things, because they didn't read the instructions. They didn't read the instruction manual. Our instruction manual is the Bible. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, or go astray, cutting straight the word of truth. Now, the word cutting straight there, Marilyn is a good seamstress. Now, Velasa said you didn't have patience to do that, he says. But Marilyn can take out a pattern and cut out a pattern and make something. Now, if you don't cut the pattern right out of a piece of cloth, you can ruin the cloth, can't you? Mm-hmm. And Paul was a tent maker and a leather smith, so to speak. And he used the term there to cut straight the word of God, because you can sure cut it wrong. Now, the Bible, we're saying, we got up here to Abraham, didn't we? But we said that in Abraham's time, we have the beginning of the Bible. When God called Abraham out of the Chaldees and told him to go into this land, then he went down to Egypt, and then he came back out and made all the mistakes that he made. But he's still God's man because God chose him. But during that time, we have a book, the book of Job. And I'm going to read just a little bit of that to you, if I can find it. The book of Job. And this is what it says. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And the man was blameless and upright and learned fearing God and turning away from evil. And this is the time of Abraham. Okay? That's what they figure. And he had 7 sons and 3 daughters born to him, and 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and very many servants. And the man was the greatest of all the men in all the east. And then, and his sons used to go and hold a feast in the house of each on his day, on their birthdays. They would go and have a birthday party. And they would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And it came about that when the days of the feasting had completed their cycle, that Job would send out and consecrate them, raising up early in the morning and offering burnt offerings according to the number of them all. And Job, he said, perhaps my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts, and thus Job did this as a habit, always. And now there's a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. The sons of God are who? Remember Genesis 6 and 1. Bnei HaElim. They're angels. And then Satan came also. Satan's name was Lucifer or Hylael. And he was not created evil, but he became evil. Satan also came among them, and the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you go?" And Satan says, so answered the Lord and said, "From roaming about on the earth." This is where we live, you remember? Walking around upon it. And the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? For there is none like him in all the earth, a blameless and an upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil." Then Satan answered God and says, "The only reason why Job fears you is because you bless him. You take your blessings away from him, he will curse you." Remember, I said when God created all beings, he created them with a what? A conscience and a volition. And the volition so they could serve God or whatever. Now, Satan kills all of Job's children. Kaboom. He sends raiders and they take all of his cattle, all of his camels, all of his donkeys, all of his elephants or whatever else he had. They used elephants back then, by the way. And you know what Job says? The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the Lord. But he strikes him with disease. And he has terrible, probably staph infection. And the wife that he had said, "Curse God and die." And Job says, "What's wrong with you, woman? God is the God of all things. Evidently, I'm supposed to go through." And Job had three friends. He and one of his friends did. They weren't friends. They were enemies. In all reality, he said, "Job, you're a terrible sinner. Just repent to God." And all of them would give messages and things to God and about Job. And I've heard people preach from the book of Job and use their messages. That message isn't from God. That's from those rascals. But that book's there. And finally, in the end, God gave him a better wife, and he had more children, and he had more than he ever had, because God proved that Job loved him, and that God loved Job. But that's the first book, the oldest book we have in the Bible. It tells a story, because it's a story that happens to all of us. Satan is alive and well and running all over the place, and so are these demons. Don't be afraid of them. Just know they're there. Because you are God's. If you ask the Lord to forgive your sins and save your soul in your heart, you're God's child and you are protected when you call upon His protection. It doesn't mean that you will be without problems. It just means that you have a God, the God of heaven. Now, the Bible. The Bible is a library. In this book, there are 66 books. It starts with Genesis and it ends with Revelation. From the first book to the last book in the Bible. Now, the Bible is inspired of God. These writers, when they wrote things down when they were inspired to write the book. In Genesis, the 9th chapter, let's go back and look at something for just a moment. Genesis, the 9th chapter. And it said, Noah awoke and he cursed his son Canaan. That's the land of Canaanite, of Canaan. They would go down into this land. These people are going to be cursed because they would become bad. God knew they'd become bad. And then God inspired Noah to write just a couple of little sentences. But in that sentence, it tells the history of the world. Isn't that something? He didn't know what he was writing. He was just writing what God told him to say. He said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Shem." That's his son Shem, you know. Remember, the three races of man. Negroid, Caucasoids, and Mongoloids. The three races of man. "Blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and let Canaan be his servant." The land of Canaan, Abraham's going to go into the land of Canaan, and he's going to take all that land in there from the Palestinians or from the Canaanites, because they have become so wicked, and they're so full of disease. And he told them to go into the villages and kill everything in the villages, even their animals, because their animals are diseased. If you don't do it, you'll have little diseases. And you know what the main disease there was? You know, blind syphilis. Syphilis. It was a very toxic form of syphilis. Terrible. And they had to clean it out. He said, when you go into the houses, build a fire in the houses and burn all of the bacteria up and everything in the houses before you inhabit it. Cleanse the land. Well, let Canaan be his servant. Is that what was going to happen? Did Noah know all of the descendants of Canaan? No. But he had this revelation. And he said, may God enlarge Japheth. Japheth are the Caucasian races, okay? The Caucasian races. This is what the Caucasoids, you'll call it that. And let enlarge Japheth and let them dwell in the tents of Shem. That's weird. Because the Shemites don't like the what we might call the infidels or the what you call a pagan. A pagan. What?
They call them dogs.
Dogs. They call everybody else dogs. The Jews call everybody else, all the Gentiles, dogs. Dogs. Well, let Japheth dwell in the tents of Shem. How in the world is that going to happen? How in the world are the Japhethites and the Shemites ever going to get along? Because the Shemites are an extremely a toxic, racist people. Well, there at the cross of Calvary, here we are way back over yonder. Here, Abraham's making a prophecy that this is going to happen over here in the New Testament time, that the churches are going to be Gentile churches. That the Jews are going to be rejecting God's Word. And they did. Thousands of years later, this happens. These little verses like this. Let them dwell in tents of Shem and let Canaan be his servants. Now we know that the Japhethites, now the Canaanites over there, specifically, now you interpret the Bible three ways, basically. Who's speaking? What is the subject? And what's the time element? Look on your little piece of paper there. It says, who is speaking, to whom, and about what? Now, people will just open up the Bible and they'll say, oh, this is exactly what I needed today. And it might be what Job's friends are saying to him, which were not inspired at all. But this is what I need today. Because they don't know anything about the Bible. The Bible, the Old Testament is two divisions, the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament, the book of Job in the Old Testament, which we have the oldest book. Now, Israel's going to go down in Egypt, or Jacob's going to go down in Egypt with his 12 sons, and they're going to go down there, and God said to them, he told Abraham they're going to go down there, they're going to become slaves down there, but they're going to leave there with a mighty hand, and they're going to take out lots of wealth. And they did. And then they came into the land of Canaan. They were walking and for 40 years in the wilderness. And God, not one of them that came out, they had too much paganism in them. So God said, I'm going to let every one of that generation die. And then the new ones, he gave the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy means the second law. That's the fifth book. Moses wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Five books. This is what you call a Pentateuch. Or Moses, this is the law. Okay, the law. You've heard about the law of God and all that. That's from Moses' writing. But after Moses, then Israel finally went into the land. But you have Joshua, Judges, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, and all that. Those are history about what happened in that period of time. Then you have the prophets. And God would raise up a prophet like Jeremiah, Isaiah, and then we have the book of Psalms. The Psalms, in the book of Psalms, we have 150 Psalms in the Bible. That's a big book. A big part of that library is the Psalms. In Psalms, you have prophecy, and you have history, and you have yet prophecy to come. In Psalm 22, you know what it tells you about? It talks about Jesus suffering on the cross of Calvary. The words that he would say before he ever said them. 1,000 years before he said the words he said. The Bible is a book of mysteries and secrets, basically. But you can read it. Everybody can have a Bible and they can read that Bible. And they can see these things. And it's an instruction manual for your life and for your eternity in the future. The Old Testament. We have the law, and we have the prophets, and we have the Psalms. Now, in the New Testament, means hekine diatheke, that's in Greek. It means the New Covenant or the New Testament. The Old Testament, the Old Covenant, was in basically the books of Moses. Okay? That's where it was. The Deuteronomy, all of the children of Israel died except for Joshua and Caleb that would go into the land of Canaan. Now, in the land of Canaan, remember what we studied in Genesis 6 chapter? There were giants in the land. Now, how many giants can you name from the Bible? There's one real famous giant. David, Goliath. And there's Og. And then the Bible names all four of Goliath's brothers. But it doesn't come out and tell you that. You have to find this. I got it by studying Hebrew. Goliath's brother, Goliath's brother, Goliath's brother. And that tells when they were killed. Now these guys were Nephilim. They're hybrids. And when Israel went into the land of Canaan to check it out, there were spies sent in there to check it out. And they went in there, and you know what? They all came back except for Joshua and Caleb. They said, those people there, are some of them are so big, we look like grasshoppers in their sight. We're afraid of them. We can't conquer them anyway. We can't do it. We can't go in there. And Joshua and Caleb came back, and they brought home the fruits of the land, and said, look at the land. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. And look at all the fruits. And Caleb says, give me that mountain where the giants are. Because by God's help, I will get that mountain. And that was Hebron, that area. That's where Abraham was buried. That's where the giants went. And they were in there. How tall were those giants? 9, 10, 11 foot tall. They were big. Powerful men. You know how somebody... Have you ever seen anybody 6'8" or 6'10" and just figured out how much they weighed? I had a lawyer one time with my lawyer. He was 6'6". And he weighed 375 pounds. Did he look like he was fat, Marilyn? Mike?
No.
No. He's this tall like this. His shoulders like this. 375 pounds. He's only 6'6" or 6'8". He was a bodybuilder. His arms were big like that. You know, like Arnold Schwarzenegger type person. He had a cousin that was 6'8". He weighed about 375 pounds. He didn't look like he weighed 375 pounds, but he weighed 375 pounds. He was a strong-arm robber and all that stuff. He'd go in bars and steal people, just take their money from them. Just throw them out, break their arms and legs, whatever, just do whatever he wanted to do because he was so big. He's like that. Big people. Powerful people. Then you add 2 more foot and then how much do these people weigh? 700, 800, 1,000, 1,200 pounds. Powerful. That's like a bull. A young bull. 1,000-pound bull. You ever roped a 1,000-pound steer or something or other with a rope and try to hold on to one of them? I've roped them sometimes. Huh?
I'd like to do that, Paul.
Yeah. You see this. Well, Joshua and Caleb said, give me that mountain. I'll take care of them. And you know what? God said, you people aren't worthy. I'm going to let every one of you die. But all the time they were in there, even though they were living out their lives, they never had to buy another pair of shoes or another dress. Their clothes never wore out. They never wore out. My clothes wear out. My suits wear out. Inside them, they're just threads. They just fall apart. You know, I don't go work in my suits, but they wear out. And they're made out of good material. This is a wool suit. The silk on the inside of it wears out and just comes in threads. Threads. And even outside they do. And my Levi's, they wear out. But for 40 years, all during that whole generation, not a pot wore out, no cooking utensils, no shoes, no dresses, nothing wore out. God provided for them in all that period of time. But then when the end of the time came, Joshua and Caleb went into the land, and Caleb got that mountain that he wanted. And they went in there and they cleaned out the monsters. And then later on, we have another time when David was born. When David was born, there were more monsters. More Nephilim. Now, these are all the history of the Bible. But when you start studying the Bible, now in the New Testament, you've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Acts. You've got five books in the beginning of the Bible, in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Acts is history. It tells you the name, it tells you the time of Jesus when he was born, who his mother and earthly father was. It tells you about his brothers and sisters. He had brothers and sisters. The Catholic Church says he didn't, but the Bible says he did. Mary had at least seven children. Mary was not a perpetual virgin or anything else. See, this was all invented. Mariolatry all came later. Okay? It all happened later. Now, when you open a scripture and you study a scripture like Genesis 9, 25 through 27. Who's speaking? Noah is speaking. What is the subject? The subject was the history, the prophecy of his descendants. And he's speaking to you. He's leading the message to all mankind. And he says what his descendants will do. Now let's go to the New Testament and let's look at some things just for a moment. We're studying about the Bible. Now in the Bible we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then we have the book of Revelation, which is pure prophecy. The book of Revelation. You all hear about the apocalypse, the end of the world, and all that, don't you? That's where it came from, was the book of Revelation. Let's go look at John. Real simple things. John 1 and 1. John says, in beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is a statement by John, the Apostle. He's speaking, so John's speaking. What's John speaking about? He's speaking about the creation, and before the creation of the world. In Genesis 1 and 1, we have the creation of the heavens and the earth, but right here we have the creations. This is back in eternity past. It says, in beginning. Now, I'm going to do this from Greek. It says, NRK, Aho Logos, Kaiho Logos, Sain Proson Theon, Kaiho Logos, Sain Theos. That's what it says in Greek, okay? Sound like Russian a little bit? In beginning. It doesn't say in beginnings like it says in the book of Hebrew, in the Genesis 1 and 1 there. It says in one of the beginnings. But here it says in beginning. Nothing existed but God. And it says he kept on being the Word. Now, the Word there is a Hebraism. Again, word came from the idea in Greek of Hadabar in the Old Testament. And that's where they came to the name of God, and they could not say the name of God. They thought it was too sacred to say the name of God, so they say Hadabar or Hashem. That means the name or the word. And so John, when he's writing this, John's a Hebrew, isn't he? He's Jewish. And so he's using a Hebraism. In beginning, kept on being the Word, kept on being Jehovah. And Jehovah kept on being an inseparable part of the Godhead. And then it says in the last part, because Jehovah kept on being God. And the name Jehovah. The name Jehovah means what, Marilyn? What's the name of Jehovah mean, Marilyn?
He who shall become.
He who shall become. Now in John, the 14th chapter, just a few verses on down, it says, quote that for me in Greek, Marilyn. John 1:14. Thank you very much. That's how it begins. And the Jehovah flesh he became and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And then in verse number 18 it says the rest of that now. Who's speaking? Who's he speaking to? And what's the subject? We're talking about the eternal God here. The eternal God. But the eternal God became flesh to redeem you. No man has seen God in any time, but the only begotten God, the one being in the bosom of the Father, he has led himself out. And then in John, the third chapter, it says here, now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He was a Pharisee. And now he goes and visits Jesus. Now he goes by night. He goes there probably with an armed guard because he's going there as a representative from the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin to speak to Jesus. And so we got two people talking here, don't we? We got Nicodemus and we got Jesus. All right, in this verse. Who's speaking? Who's he speaking to? And Nicodemus said to Jesus, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter again into his mother's womb and be born again? Now, you see all of these things. What's the subject there? Jesus told him you must be born again to see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus had been baptizing proselytes, the Gentiles, and they had to shave all their head off, trim their fingernails back like a baby would when he was born, and they would baptize them and they would die to their old Gentile nationality and be raised anew as a son of Israel. Okay? And that's what you call being born again. And Nicodemus knew that, but he's playing on words, and Jesus is hard on this guy. But you know what? This guy is going to become a believer. And then he gets on down. He said, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. And do not marvel, I say to you, you must be born again. And then Nicodemus said, how can these things be that you're talking about? He said, you're not thinking spiritual thoughts. You're thinking only earthly thoughts. He said, are you a teacher of Israel and you don't know about these things? You can't understand spiritual things at all? Truly I say to you, we speak that which we know. Who's we? Jesus talking, who's the we? At his disciples in this church. We speak what we know. Okay? And the prophets spoke what they know. And we bear witness that which we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. They wouldn't receive Jesus Christ as the Messiah, King of Israel. He was of the right lineage. How did Herod? You know, Herod was the king when Jesus was born. Herod was a descendant of Esau. Esau was not the promised son. But who put Esau on the throne of Israel, basically?
David?
Huh?
Was it David?
No, no. Who was in power that put Herod the Great on the throne of Israel as their king? Anthony and Cleopatra. Oh. You heard of Anthony and Cleopatra, haven't you? Anthony and Cleopatra. By the way, Cleopatra was a Greek. Did you know that? She was not Egyptian, she was Greek. She was a Greek princess, and she became basically the princess of Egypt. But she was Greek. Because they had gone down there and conquered that country under Alexander the Great. And one of his Ptolemies went down there, and she was of the Ptolemy line of the Greeks. But she was a very beautiful Greek girl, and she seduced Caesar, and then Anthony, and they put Herod on the throne of Israel. And Jesus' father, earthly father, which wasn't his father, but he was supposed to be on the throne, and when Jesus was born, he was the heir to the throne of the nation of Israel. All the Jews knew this. And here's a representative going. He said, I told you earthly things that you do not believe. How shall you believe I tell you heavenly things? And then he tells him this very famous verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I'm the boy. I'm the son, is what he told Nicodemus. And you know what? Nicodemus finally believes. But this is how you interpret the Bible. You interpret the Bible, not just open it up and say, oh, this is what I need today. Not that. Who's speaking, who's he speaking to, and what's the subject? That's why you have all these religions out here, because they didn't read the instruction manual. And some of them quote the same book, but they'll quote it out of context. The Bible establishes that Jesus is Jehovah of the Old Testament. We have Jehovah Witnesses. You know what the Jehovah Witnesses say? That Jesus was the Archangel Michael. The Bible doesn't say that, but that's what Charles Page Russell said, the founder of it, and then Judd Rutherford later on. You see all of this. How did they get out here in the twilight zone in the left field? Because they didn't read the instruction manual according to the instructions. How do you, when you go to school, I taught reading at and history at Lakeside School for 8 years. And you know what I told those kids how to do? We took up a little book, and I talk about different people in history. And I said, who, what, where, when, and why? Who was he? What's the subject here, and why are we studying this? Who, what, where, when, and why? The five interpretations, and that goes along with the Bible, too. So you get out there in the left field when you don't understand the Bible. And you have to understand church history, too. That's a little bit very, very important thing. Father, we send this message out that people might understand you better and understand your instruction manual. Please use it for your honor and glory.